Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
We live in an age and in a world where people are no longer focused upon God and upon family, but rather we live in a world today, I believe, that is filled with much jealousy, envy, and strife. Whenever we think in regard to this, I question, what does God have to say about jealousy, envy, and strife? Tonight, I want us to look at Saul's life, king over Israel, and I want us to examine this man's reign as king over Israel, also some things we find characteristic of his life and the subject of jealousy. And as we examine this man, not only do I want to point out the shortcomings in his life of pleasing God in regard to these matters, but also how do these things apply to us as New Testament Christians? Good people, whenever we think in regard to King Saul, we first need to consider the children of Israel. Israel had been established by God, and God wanted Israel to love Him with every fiber of their being. God had promised that He would protect and provide for Israel, and God wanted Israel, in turn, to bow down to Him. He wanted Israel to love Him with every part of their lives, to serve Him faithfully as they went in and throughout the course of their life in service to God. But yet, at the same time, whenever we consider Israel, we understand is that Israel failed to heed what it was that God commanded of them, that is, to put Him number one. Israel wanted to be like the nations round and about them. Israel looked to the other nations and they saw that they had kings to rule over them, to make judgment upon them, to guide them, to set the standards of which they were required to live by. And Israel did not want to follow according to the standards of God. And for that reason, they wanted a king to rule and to reign over them. Israel chose Saul to be their king. Whenever we think in regard to Saul, the Bible tells us that he was a man who was very handsome. He was very tall, stood head and shoulders above others of that day. Saul would have been a very intelligent individual. He was also a man who would have presented himself in a very authoritative way. He would have been an individual who would have possessed great abilities. And no doubt, as Israel looked at this man, they would have seen that he possessed the ability to lead them as what the other kings were leading other nations. And for this reason, Israel chose Saul to be their king. As we consider King Saul, we realize that his reign began very well. The Bible identifies for us that he had a very sincere love for the children of Israel. Also, I believe we can deduce from the context is that this man, in the very beginning, had a respect also for our God. He wanted to know what God's law said. Also, he wanted to make certain that he complied himself, not only himself, but in like figure that the children of Israel was led according to the standards that God had laid down. However, the Bible tells us that King Saul eventually failed Israel. The Bible reveals for us is that at one point he usurped the authority of the priesthood. He had no right to offer sacrificial offerings, but rather, good people, the Bible tells us that only the priest had that right, that God-given right, that authorization, that authority to offer sacrificial offerings. But yet at the same time, Saul did not heed the commandment of God in regard to this, and for this reason, he offered a sacrificial offering. But also we understand is that Saul made a foolish vow that later he would come back, and that vow would bind him to the point to where it would cost him his relationship with his son. Also we understand is that he failed to obliterate the Amalekites, of which God had commanded that these people be dealt with, but Saul refused to do so. In all of this, not only do we find is that it ruined the relationship with God, but in like figure, he failed Israel. He put before Israel a terrible example of what it means to show disrespect, to rebel against Jehovah God, the Creator of all of mankind. In these things, good people, we also understand is that God, at this point in time, had chose to remove Saul from the priesthood. In society, whenever we think in regard to baseball, baseball has a rule that three strikes you're out. Good people, Saul had committed three strikes, and God says that Saul is going to be out as priest, and he is going to be replaced by King David, by David who will come and replace him and reign as king over the children of Israel. The Bible tells us that Saul grew exceedingly jealous of David. He was not pleased with God's selection. He was not pleased to the fact that God was going to remove him. He wanted to continue on as king over Israel. He wanted the preeminence amongst the people. He wanted to be exalted high in the sight of our God. But yet at the same time, God had already selected David. And in this, we understand, as these things came out, Saul became exceedingly jealous of this man. The Bible tells us that Saul determined to destroy David. He wanted to make certain that David was removed. In these things, he was relentless. He was constantly making certain that he had planned and that his plans were enacted to take David out of the picture. He also wanted to intimidate David. The Bible tells us that he took his spear and that he sought to pin David to the wall. Why did he do that? Good people, I believe that he did that to intimidate this man. He wanted to have the upper hand. He wanted David to fear him. But yet the Bible tells us that David fled from his presence at that time. The Bible also tells us that Saul planned to kill David. In this, the Bible reveals for us is that he planned for David to go against the Philistines. The Philistines was a constant rival, an enemy against the children of Israel. And Saul wanted him to bring back the goods from. He wanted him to bring back the proof that the Philistines had been slain. And good people, in this, Saul had in his mind that David was not going to be able to be victorious. He realized, as he saw things, that David would die whenever he went into battle against the Philistines. But yet, we learn in all of this is that David, that God was with David, and that David went against the Philistines, and that David was victorious against the Philistines. Why? Because he was indeed the man that God had chose. He was a man who, the Bible tells us, was a man after God's own heart. And for this reason, God was constantly with David to protect David. In this, Saul also tried to murder David. He wanted him dead at all costs. Good people, why? Why was he like this? What was it that was the big problem in all of what it is that we see in reference to Saul and why he wanted David out of the picture? Good people, the Bible identifies for us is that he was jealous. He allowed jealousy to control his life. He was envious. He was covetousness to the things of which David had, to the things of which David possessed, and the way in which God looked at David, and the way in which God realized, and the things that God realized against Saul. In this, it was not only David that Saul wanted to have killed, but also he wanted his own son Jonathan murdered. The Bible also tells us concerning this man is that he murdered a priest of God, a man of God, a priest before the children of Israel. Why did he murder him? Because this priest had turned and befriended David and had supplied goods for David. In these things, we understand the type of man that he was. Good people, the Bible tells us that because of this jealousy, he lost relationships. He severed a relationship with David, the man that he should have turned to, the man that he should have supported. He lost a relationship with his own son, Jonathan. And the Bible reveals for us ultimately, and most seriously, he lost his relationship with our God. In this, Saul had a very shameful death. He himself was engaged in battle against the Philistines. And the people, whenever in this it looked as to Saul that he was going to die, the Bible tells unto us is that he did not want to die that shameful death to the point to where he would be slain by the Philistines. For that reason, the Scripture tells us that Saul drew his sword and that he fell upon his sword. He committed suicide in order to save embarrassment by dying by the hand of the Philistines. What a shameful life. What a shameful legacy concerning this man's life. To die at the end, separated from the Almighty God. How do these things apply to you and me today as New Testament Christians? Good people, jealousy is a universal problem. It's not only here in the United States that we face jealousy, envy, and strife, But it's worldwide we find this situation. And when we think in regard to jealousy, it is the equivalent of envy and covetousness. And the Bible reveals for us is that it is a very serious problem. Why? Because not only do we find that jealousy exists during the life of these individuals, but in like figure, it is a major contributor to strife, to problems that come within the individual's life, into the family of those individuals who allow themselves to be controlled by jealousy, but also into the world of which we are a part of, and more specifically tonight, and that of which ought to bring very serious concern to us as Christians, it will wreak havoc in the Lord's church. What do we learn in regard to what the Bible says about jealousy, envy? Envy, according to what we find in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 3, and strife equals unrighteousness. Not together, yes, at the same time together, but yet at the same time, when we consider these independently, envy and strife, God tells us that these two things are unrighteousness. And what does the Bible tell us in regard to unrighteousness? Good people, the Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin before God. Therefore, whenever God looks at those individuals who would allow their life to be controlled by jealousy, envy, and then in like figure, who would have strife in their life as a result of this, but also we might add, not only as a result of this, strife, that is undue strife in their life, God would identify that as sin. As sin as separates mankind from the Almighty God. What is the root of jealousy? The Bible identifies for us, but also we understand from personal observation of what we can consider in life is that when we think in regard to those who would allow jealousy to be present in their life, it is a lack of self-confidence. These individuals do not have confidence in themselves to be able to be successful in life. And for this reason, they are jealous of others. In like figure, we understand concerning this is that there's a fear of personal failures. They fear that they themselves are going to fail. And if they are going to fail, oftentimes they don't want to be alone. They want to invite others into that. Misery loves company. But also we understand is that there is this insecurity in regard to relationships. Relationships in reference to those who comprise the home. Failure in relationships, insecurity with relationships in the world, but also when we think in regard to the church in the body of Christ, they do not see themselves as fitting in or being able to have a stable relationship with other members of the Lord's church. Good people, in all these things, what is it then that people covet? People covet power. They want power, and Satan knows this. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, that whenever Satan took Jesus up into the pinnacle of the temple, that he was presenting before him three areas in which he was tempting him. And in this, we understand is that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. What was a very major part of that temptation? Power. If you bow down, I will give unto you this world of which you now have before you. Little did Satan realized, but Jesus already had the world, amen? He already had the world and He was controlling the world. But what Satan wanted Jesus to look upon is the world from a materialistic, a fleshly standpoint. And good people, Jesus is not the only one who was placed with that temptation. You and I, mankind as a whole, we face the temptation of being jealous of others and the power and the positions of which they might hold in life. But the Bible also tells us that sometimes people are covetous. People are jealous of other people in the sense to where a man will look upon another man's wife or a woman will look upon another woman's husband. And the Bible tells us in regard to this is that this is wrong. We have this in the context of 2 Samuel chapter 11 verses 1 through 4 where David looked upon Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and he lusted after her to the point of what? To where he took her in. He had an unlawful relationship with her. And also we understand is that it didn't end there. It should have ended there. In repentance, but good people, it did not. What happened? The Bible tells us that David went forward with that to the point to where Uriah was murdered. Had him sent to the front line. In these things also we realize is that people oftentimes will be jealous concerning possessions.
They're not satisfied with what it is that they have in life, but rather they want more. And oftentimes it's not that they're willing to work for that. What a lesson many in the United States need to learn about that, amen? About living and working for your living. The Bible says that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. In this, certainly we ought to be an individual or people who wants to do better in life, and there's nothing at all wrong with wanting to do better and having certain things in life as long as these things do not stand between us and God. But yet at the same time, we realize is that oftentimes people aren't necessarily just wanting to get ahead for themselves, but they're looking to what other people have. They're jealous about what others will have. And the Bible tells us and warns us in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, that we need to be very cautious. We need to think very seriously about laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, and instead to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where it really and truly counts. Jealousy creates some very serious problems for Christians. Some problems that are identified in the Scripture time and time again. As Christians, we are commanded to love. We are commanded to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Bible also tells us in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, that we are to love our neighbor. Whenever we think in regard to our neighbor, who is our neighbor? Good people, it's not just the individual who lives to the right of us or to the left of us or the person who lives to the behind of us or to the front of us in our homes. But our neighbor is any individual that we come in contact with, that we meet as we go throughout the course of life. We need to love these individuals as we love ourselves, but more specifically as what God has loved us in a sacrificial, agape manner. But also, we need to love one another. And in the context of what is presented in the book of John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we need to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we do not love one another as what God commands us, how can we love God whom we have not seen? The truth of the matter is, God says, is that we cannot love Him. We learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. In verse 4, He says that love does not envy. It doesn't get any simpler, any more plain than that, amen? Love, that is proper love, love that's going to love your neighbor as we ought to, love that's going to love your brother or sister as we ought to, love that's going to love God. God, the Creator of this world, the Creator of us, our soul, will not have envy within it. But also we understand is that those who allow jealousy to dictate their life is that they are not satisfied with the commandments to be content. God supplies everything that we have in life. And in this, we learn from the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17 that all of the good that we have in life, it's not that we can pat ourselves on the back. It's not that we can turn to some other man and say, thank you for everything that you've ever supplied for me in and throughout the course of my life. Has man played a role in that? Absolutely. Have we played a role in it? Most certainly we have, as long as we're doing what it is that God commands us to do. But why do we have the good, that is everything that is good that takes place in our life? Good people, we have the good in our life because God has supplied it all. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, we understand that it is God who sends rain upon the just and the unjust. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, God has not left Himself without witness in that He has sent rain upon the creation, and that's paraphrased. God takes care of us, and according to what we learn from the Hebrews writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, you and I, more specifically as Christians above anyone else, ought to learn to be content with what we have. Why? Because what we have is what God feels as if we need, and for that reason, whatever state or situation, the possessions, all that we have in life, we need to learn to be content with what we have. And whenever it comes to what it is that our brothers and sisters have in life, we need to rejoice with them, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and following. We need to always rejoice whenever our brothers and sisters do well in life, to praise them for what it is that they do in life as well as what they have as long as they're doing these things from a godly standpoint. but also we are commanded to be spiritual. And jealousy stands in the way of all of that. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we are not to love the world. And an individual who is jealous, they might argue that they don't love the world, but in reality, they love the world. Why? Because it's the world that they're going after. We are told by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 that we are not to focus upon the things of this world. Why? Because the things of this world are temporary and our vision is to be beyond this world. Why? Because the things beyond this world, more specifically that which awaits us in heaven, is eternal. It is without end. In this, what do we learn from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3? If we allow ourselves to be centered in and upon having jealousy in our life, to have envy, and then also to allow strife to come into that picture, the Bible tells us that we would be carnal-minded. Well, what does it mean to be carnal-minded? Good people, it means that we are worldly. It means that we are weak and worldly. And God commands us as Christians that we cannot, that we must not be like that. What does jealousy lead to? Good people, the Bible tells us that jealousy led to Jesus Christ being crucified at Calvary's cross. The context of what Jesus explains to us as well as what is stated concerning Judas. He was jealous of Jesus, and I want to think that Judas was not alone. The Jews were constantly looking at Jesus and they were jealous of Him, of His abilities, of His talents, of what it was that He claimed to have with Jehovah God, a relationship, an eternal existence. And these people were jealous of our God. The Bible tells us that those who participate in this sin, that they are seen by our God as being foolish. Well, why does God say that those who allow envy to be in their life are foolish? Good people, it's because that they do not understand the true matter of what really is important in life. It's not about the things that we can get. It's not about the things that others have. But rather, it's about what we can attain. It's about what you and I can have hope in Jesus Christ our Lord, beyond this life. And God looks at those individuals who do not get that, and He says that they're foolish in His sight. The Bible tells us that as babes in Christ, and what am I thinking in regard to babes in Christ, as Peter is explaining here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, babes in Christ, to me, would be those who are new converts. Those who are baptized into Christ are considered to be a babe in Christ at the time of their baptism. And he says, as babes in Christ, we need to lay aside multiple things, but a part of that list is envy, jealousy, and strife. Good people, as Christians, you and I are expected to walk properly, not in strife and not in envy, but rather in walking according to the ways that God, that our God, the Creator of this world, the God who loves us, the God who forgives us, and the God of hope, who gives us hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven. We need to walk according to the standards that He lays down and to be content always with those things, few or great, that He gives us as we live our life here. And no matter what it is that we have in life, whether few or great, that we use these things to glorify His name amongst the world of which does not even know His name. Tonight, I ask you the question that I believe God wants each of us to ponder each and every day. Is pleasing God your main goal in life? Have you pleased Him by confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you pleased Him by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Is your life pleasing to God? If not, God gives us an opportunity while we have life here through the blood of Jesus to make certain that we are indeed pleasing unto Him, so that whenever we stand before Him in judgment, we will be pleased with what we see in regard to the pleasure of which we brought forth in His life whenever He says, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant."